What's up, this your boy Lil Duval, and check out my podcast, Conversations with Unc, on the Black Effect Podcast Network. Each and every Tuesday, Conversations with Unc podcast feature casuals and in-depth talk about ebbs and flows of life and the pursuit of happiness. Unlike my work on stage, I tap into a more serious and sensitive side to give life advice and simply offer words of encouragement, yet remind folks to never forget to laugh. Every Tuesday, listen to Conversations with Unc, hosted by Lil Duval on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Presented by AT&T. Connecting changes everything.
This is your moment, your time to shine, your comeback. You're ready for the next step in your career, and you want an education employers respect. So you're not just going back to school. You're coming back with Purdue Global. Backed by Purdue University, one of the nation's most respected public universities, Purdue Global is built for people who bring their life experience into the online classroom. Purdue Global, Purdue's online university for working adults. Start your comeback today at purdueglobal.edu.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hey, this is Jake Owen, and this is Good Company.
We in good company.
Welcome to Good Company, a podcast where we talk about everything under the sun. Friends, good times, and life.
We in good company.
Now, here's your host, Jake.
Yo, yo, yo. What's up, boys and girls, ladies and gentlemen? It's Jake. I am back with another episode of Good Company. You guys know what Good Company is all about. It's about having people on here that are interesting, that are good people, and they've got great stories. And we have exactly that today. Got my buddy Jimmy Allen on
What's up, man?
What's up, dude?
Dude, just happy to be here. The sun's out today. So
the man from
thing.
Milton, Delaware.
Oh, yeah. Where it all happens. Hotbed of country music.
Yeah. This has been a really kind of serendipitous thing. It's been, I guess, I don't know, a few weeks back.
Yeah.
Jimmy texted me and said, hey, man, you're going to be in Milton, Delaware. I think I'm going to be at that show. So I said, come out, man. It'll be good to see you. Well, last night before I went to do a charity event with Lee Bryce for the Folds of Honor and some other folks, I stopped off to have a little margarita at a local Mexican establishment here in Nashville, and there was old Jimmy Allen sitting
hanging
at the
out.
Bar. And so we started talking, and he said he's leaving Wednesday. I said, yeah, I'm leaving Wednesday. And thanks to my friends at Cessna, we we're flying there on one of their planes, and I said, dude, you got to ride with us. So he's going to hop on the plane tomorrow and ride with us up to Milton. So that's your –
I was born and raised right in Milton, dude.
Tell me about Milton, Delaware.
Man, so Milton, for people who don't know, it's in the state of Delaware. Yes, Delaware is a state. it's this little town, man. Like, when I left, it was like 800 people. I think now people – that like, the influx gets up to like 1,500 to 2,000 during the summer. Because people were so close to the beach, so people come in. But, man, we grew up, my neighborhood, the one side of the street's cornfields, the other side, soybean fields, and there's, like, woods and trees behind our house, man. So we grew up pond fishing, ocean fishing, four-wheeling, building bike ramps, building forts, and then setting them on fire. I didn't realize how unsafe that was.
Yeah.
Because we used to do this thing called burn the fort, man, and we would, like build forts, and then you had to find the other person's fort and burn it down. And then shoot a gun in the air at the end, so people.
Yeah, that doesn't sound safe.
No, it wasn't safe at all. But you had to shoot the gun so people could know you found the fort, and you had to run towards it for like proof and stuff. But it was fun, dude. It was good times.
You look back on that and think about how fast time flies, huh? You still got buddies that all live there?
Yeah, man. My next door neighbor that still lives in my childhood home in Milton. My next door neighbor's dad still lives in that house. I got other friends there, and I'm friends with all the kids I grew up with, man. Like, we're still friends. And so, you know, we talk a lot and try to catch up. So
I was telling Jimmy earlier that one of the reasons I wanted to have him on here, when I ran into him yesterday, not only did I say, hey, hop on the plane, let's go to Delaware, because you're playing the Delaware State Fair.
Yeah, the next day.
So we have a lot in common, man. You kind of being from a coastal town. I'm from a coastal town. We were talking last night about fishing. You love to fish. I love to fish, too.
Dads.
yeah, we're single dads, man. How old your
He's
little
four,
boy?
He's four, man. Just four. Turned four.
And my little girl's five.
Wow.
So there's just a lot, man. And I know we kind of condensed these down to like 15, 20 minutes, but there's so much I wanted to talk to you about because just talking to you yesterday when you were telling me about everything you're going through in this career right now and your new song, Best Shot, which, by the way, is such a great song.
Dude, thank you, man.
I know how that is, man. I was asking you last night. I was like, as a new artist, how's it been? How's the traveling around been? Because you said you're not in a tour bus. You're traveling around in a van.
Planes, yeah.
Are you starting to see on the road your song, like, people are really starting to react? Because that's a sing-along, like just a good...
Man,
like,
it's starting to react. Man, I get people come up to me and say, hey, they're using it as their first dance on their wedding. Like, someone sent me a video of this husband and wife using the song as their first dance of their wedding. So I invited them out to the Opry tonight. So I'm playing the Opry.
Oh, you're playing the Opry tonight?
Yep. And heck, I invited them out, man. What I want to start, and like, that's what, like, when people say the song touches them, I want to find a way like to really connect with them. So if they're in Nashville, meet them for coffee or just try to, you know, I feel like music is so personal and it touches you. So I feel like the least I can do is, like, you know, if it happens to work out for them and for me, like, just say hello.
Dude, that's good company right there. Yeah, see, that's what I'm talking about. Yeah, that's what I've really, and it's hard to do. But no, I will tell you, like, I've always tried to maintain that attitude towards fans and people. Mm-hmm. People always said to me, they're like, how come you just invite random people on your boat to go out? And I said, because for me, it's not hard to do. Mm-hmm. And for them, it means the world.
Oh,
so
for sure.
Songs like yours, I mean, when they connect with people and you can connect with them, especially in today's age, like with social media and stuff, whereas, you know, and that's what's funny is artists, when you get a record deal or you're just trying to make it, what's the number one thing you want to do? It's get your song out to as many people as possible and connect with your fans. Mm-hmm. And now we kind of have all these social media platforms where we're able to connect with our fans, even though we're doing right now. I mean, we're having a podcast talking directly to people that want to listen. So you have an awesome story. You grew up in Milton, Delaware, like you said. And then when did you move to Nashville?
So I moved to Nashville in 2007. And then when I moved to Nashville in 2007, I literally had $21 in my bank account. I filled up on credit the whole way down, so by the time I got down here, my bank account was like negative $200. I worked at a gym and a snack bar. I lived in a trailer for a little bit with no electric. The lady sold the trailer, at least that's what I was told. She was selling the trailer.
You lived in your car,
right? In my car for a few months, because I had promised my
Where did you park that car?
Man, behind the gym, and there's a business parking lot in Cool Springs. I used to park, and it's shaded by trees. So I would park there. I'd sleep from like 12 to about 4:35 in the morning. Go to the gym, wash my clothes at the gym, shower. Then I'd work my shift at the snack bar or whatever. And then I promised my little sister, I said, hey, if you get good grades and get into this private school, I'll help pay for it. So I could have gotten an apartment sooner, but the money I would use for an apartment, I sent that home to my sister. And then my friend moved down, and then we got a place together, man. And it was cool. So he did odd jobs. Like, I was a janitor once. But I had a thing, I would never work a job longer than 8 months because I didn't want to get comfortable.
Right.
So month 7, I would start filling out applications for other jobs so I could leave. Like, I did the whole Broadway thing, but I didn't play Broadway longer than 8 months.
Right. Because,
you know, it's easy to get sucked in and get comfortable and lose sight of your vision. You know what I mean? Lose sight of your goal. And I never wanted to do that, man. So I just kept moving.
Have you always been like that since you were a kid? Were you in sports and competitive?
Mm-hmm. I'm super competitive, bro.
Like, yeah, you seem like you are.
Yeah, I'm very, I'm very competitive.
I mean, you said you guys all, John Anthony here is holding it down with our boy Keith Kaufman, as usual, here in the podcast booth. But
Me and John ball together.
You guys play, like, basketball every Tuesday, right?
Yeah, man. It was like Monday, Wednesday, and Fridays, man. We would hoop and play, you know, Cortland Finnegan would come in there and hoop every now and again. And I might not win every game, but I'm trying to win every game.
Of course.
Like, I don't
But that's
care.
Life, dude. That's, yeah. Like, we're not going to win every time.
Yeah, dude.
That's the thing. People don't, you know, people have a hard time accepting loss, but I think sometimes accepting loss, which goes back to your story, man. Like,
yeah, man.
You've had a lot of times in your life where, like, probably it looked like you were losing more than winning, but you always got to, fuck you said, you can't get comfortable. Like, don't get comfortable in the loss and don't get comfortable in the win.
Yeah.
Always just, you never find comfort in anything other than chasing down what your passion is.
Exactly, man.
And,
because it was, man, there was so many times, dude. I remember I was laying there in my car one night. I always slept in the front seat. I would turn the heat on so the car would, like, warm up, then turn it off, and I had, like, a hoodie on, some jeans, some sweatpants, and a blanket. I remember laying there one night thinking to myself, what am I doing? Like, am I, like, wasting my life away? And then I got my apartment. Things finally got going. And, man, I tell you, things really changed for me when I had my son, because I quickly realized my goals didn't change, but the way I approached them did. Like, I was smarter. I realized every decision I made as far as people I let in my life affected him. Every decision I made, I didn't want to waste any more time with my son, and I felt like my circle got smaller, and I really focused on what I needed, what I really needed to do with music, man. And I feel like I started writing the best songs ever because I had another. It wasn't just for me anymore, you know. Like, I got this kid who's looking up to me, and it's like I can't, as a man and as a father, tell him to chase his dreams if I give up on mine. So I need to, yes, work two or three jobs to keep food on the table. Now, everybody chase your dreams, but if you're a parent, still do what you need to do for a kid. Don't not work and not make any money chasing a dream. No, you bust your butt, work two, three jobs if you need to, but don't give up that dream. You know?
Yeah, so. That's really well said, man. I mean, with myself having a little girl, I strive every day to be the best dad I can be, and then there's those moments where I catch myself not being that guy, you know, like, even, and not necessarily when she's in front of me, but when she's not around me, like, making decisions that could quite possibly affect her life is kind of scary to me.
Dude, it's super,
because we're all in this, like, weird bubble where people are looking at you all the time and trying to find ways to tear you down, and I just don't ever want to make any sorts of decisions that could affect her, even though I do it daily.
And the crazy thing is, you know, they're so, like, your daughter, she's so harmless, man, and it's like she's literally stuck with whatever decision, you know, that you make affects her. There's nothing she can do about it. You know, she's just stuck, and that's what really keeps me on my toes now about my son. It's like, man, I don't want to put him in a situation he can't handle and that he shouldn't have to handle, man, so I always got to, you know, keep my crap together.
Well,
man,
he'll
it's
always
hard,
see that with you, man. I mean, I was talking about this last night, having, being a single parent and doing the back and forth thing, you know, it's got to be tough, because I know it is, because I deal with it.
Yeah.
But him seeing you work as hard as you work and the stories that you, that you'll tell him that you've gone through, will only make him stronger as a kid. But it,
do you bring your dog? What I started doing for my son to really have him understand, so young, every city I go to, I bring him something.
That's
whether
cool.
Whether it's a keychain, whether it's a postcard. I'm trying to bring back postcards, too. Whether it's a T-shirt.
Dude, your son's going to have a lot of keychains.
Like, if I don't remember, my TM helps me remember. Like, I have, like, this last trip.
TM means tour manager,
by
the way.
Yeah, sorry, tour manager.
Look at you talking with that lingo.
So, I know, right? So my my tour manager, I did an eight-city run last week. So I brought back eight things. And whether they're, like, a little toy car or something, I bring it back to him and say, hey, daddy got this from here. Oh, did you sing this song? Did you sing? Yeah. And then it's a conversation starter. And then I started a photo album for him, a physical photo album. And you should start one. Everybody listening, start one. Create an email for your kids. Like, I do one, just whatever your kid's name is, blah, blah, at Gmail. And start sending videos and pictures of them when they're little, right? And then every now and again, I'll write my son emails. And when he turns 16 or 18, I'm going to give him the password. That way he'll have all, like, the, like, pictures and videos and, like, notes I wrote him. Then when that one email writes out, say your kid is Ashley Parker at Gmail, then Ashley Parker 1, Ashley Parker 2. That way all that stuff is there in email. It's not going nowhere. And then it's like a letter and a booklet to them of their life. When they get older, man. So
yeah, that's really cool.
I got
that
from a movie. I watched a lot of movies, bro.
Yeah, I see that. You're very well rounded, though, man.
Nah, thanks,
I got
man.
A question for you. I want to cut, like, straight to the chase,
bro,
on this. I want to ask you, because where I grew up in Florida, when I moved to town, I was a long haired guy, and, like, everybody's like, "What do you know about country music? Mm-hmm. You're from Florida, right?" Well, as for those that don't know out there, like, you're a black dude.
I'm a black guy. Can you hear it?
Yeah.
Yo.
but I'm sure people have asked you this before, dude.
For sure.
But, like. Like, Myron in my band, we were talking about last night, in the country music format, and even in today's world and society, I had Myron on here, you know, we were talking about that on the show. Even in today's world, 2018, there's still some ignorant people out there, right? So how has that been with, like, coming into this format of country music that's predominantly throughout the years been more white dominant,
for
right?
For sure, no doubt. It's like, I think, five black guys total.
Yeah, like, but that's got to be inspirational for you too, but not just for you, for, like, for other kids and people out there. It's not only inspirational, I think it's educational.
Oh, dude.
Because you're showing people that, like, stop being ignorant
and
let's move forward.
Yeah. Like, my dad told me, man, after I got my record deal, he's so excited. He said, you know what, you have the opportunity now to, when people, 20, 30 years from now, when people talk about black guys in country music, you're in the top four. Of the first to do it. And he said, man, you're motivating and giving other kids that look like me an example of, hey, man, you can be this skin color and
still
do
it.
This, you know? Because it's so funny, because I meet people from, like, the South, like Georgia and stuff. There's country in Delaware? Yes, people. There's country in every state.
So what got you? What got you into country
music?
My
dad, man. Like, my mom listened to nothing but Christian, and my dad listened to nothing but country music. Like, my dad.
Who's your dad love?
Aaron Tippin and Montgomery Gentry.
Oh, there like, ain't nothing wrong with your radio.
My dad introduced me to country music through Aaron Tippin, and me and Aaron are friends now. So my Opry debut, I reached out to him.
How jacked is that guy?
Dude, he's still jacked. But
for those of y'all that don't know, Aaron Tippin lifts weights like 17 times a day,
and
he is ripped.
Great guy, man. And he did the Opry with me. Then the day before, the Opry was so cool, they gave me and him a boat, and they filmed me and him like fishing for the day.
Heck yeah.
So it was cool. Like, for me, it was full circle moment to where I'm about to play the Opry, and I'm hanging out with the guy that his music introduced me to country music. My dad was a huge Montgomery Gentry fan. I got to become friends with T-Roy. It's been cool, man. So, you know, being a black guy in a job, at first, of course, you know, you always get the...
You get those cliche questions.
So should you... So what do you know about country? What do you mean? I was born and raised in... And I look at country music like Christian music. It's more about the lifestyle of the person. Like, because it's, for me, country is about your morals, how you were raised, where you were raised. I feel like, to me, that's what makes you country.
What you believe in.
What you believe. That's what makes you country. The same way I look at Christian music, man. And it's like... I remember I took my band and my manager, Ash, back to Delaware last year. And they was like, is it really country up there? I said, oh, you'll see in about 14 hours. We got there. They were like, whoa.
Yeah.
So I tried to tell you. But, man, again, it comes back to my competitive side. I don't mind.
You're not going to let it bring
you.
Yeah.
I don't mind standing out, bro. Like, it.
You kind of like having that little, like, something against you.
Have a little
makes
chip on
work.
My shoulder. Yeah. I feel like you work harder. You work. I feel like a lot. Haters fuel me, bro. Like, yeah. It really does. Like, I don't know. Having people say, you can't do this, you can't do this. I'm going to do it anyway.
Dude, I'm going to tell you right now. I just based off the way you talk and your passion for what you're doing, I can tell you, forget the people that say you're not going to do it. Because I can tell you right now, you're going
to
do it.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
Every week, we'll pick a new song from the list and talk about their placement on the revamped 2021 list.
We'll also have guests join us, ranging from the artists themselves to the producers, or simply other writers like ourselves who voted on them.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern-day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside and Britney Spears' Baby One More Time.
There's so many fascinating stories that have been forgotten, like Midnight Train to Georgia starting with a phone call to Farrah Fawcett, or how the Yeah Yeah Yeahs inspired Kelly Clarkson's banger Since You've Been Gone and Beyoncé's Hold Up. Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Every week on Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso, I invite an artist, writer, or politician to come to the table and speak from the heart in ways I imagine you haven't heard from them before. Some of my favorites are with Tom Hanks, Margaret Atwood, Questlove, Cate Blanchett, and Oscar Isaac. If that sounds like a varied group of people, it's because it is. I always wanted to make a show where one week we could sit with a politician like Beto O'Rourke, the next an author like Min Jin Lee, or TV titans like Bill Hader and Quinta Brunson. Basically, this is a podcast driven by curiosity and an abundance of research. Conversations where people actually start to sound like people. In recent weeks, I sat with Dan Levy, Ava DuVernay, Benny Safdie, and the editor of The New Yorker, David Remnick. You can listen to Talk Easy with Sam Fragoso on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts. I hope to see you there.
As the number one audio company, iHeartMedia gives you access to all. Every audience, live conversations, trusted influencers, and the insights and data you need to grow. iHeartMedia is your access company. Go to iHeartResults.com for more.
I can just tell by not only, your song, Best Shot, is awesome.
You
sound amazing singing it. But just your passion and drive for wanting to do this, like, exudes out of you. And that's why yesterday when I was talking to you at the bar, I was like, wait a second. You want to come on my podcast tomorrow?
Bro. Because I'm all about that, dude.
Yeah, because that's what, again, like, this show for me kind of came about in a very random way. Thankfully to Bobby Bones, he has his podcast network, and said, hey, man, I think you've got a lot to talk about and a lot to say. And I said, what do you mean? He said, I've just always enjoyed the way that you you want to talk about the positive sides of things and really talk to people on a level. Because I know when I did his podcast, we got real, man. It was one of the most real podcasts, and he told me that he's ever done, because I talked to him on some things that most people wouldn't talk to him about. And I love sharing stories like yours. So it's a big deal, man, to have
people want real, bro. Like, that's how it was when me and Bobby were there. Like, we talked about both, like, living on food stamps for a while. And people want real. People want to be connected. That's all, to me, social media just continues to show. People want connected. They want to meet and feel other people that feel like them. They want to know that they're not alone in whatever it is they're going through. And for me, I was like, the more we can give them, the feel-good songs, but every now and again, man, if we can give them some songs and some stuff that really strikes a chord with them. That's why for me it's an honor when that couple sent me a video on Facebook of them dancing. Their first dance was my song.
To your song.
I'm like, from the rest of their life, when they hear my song, they remember their first dance. And when they remember their first dance, they'll remember my song. I feel like that's when music really makes a connection. And that's, I feel like, the kind of songs I want to make. Yeah, I'm going to have the, yeah, girl, you look good in them cutoffs. Yeah, you got to have the good stuff, man. But I feel like every now and again, man, you got to give them something that's going to stick forever with some substance, bro. And I don't know if I ever told you, man, I've been a huge fan of yours for years, bro.
Thank you, man.
So for me, man, it's just been an honor to one, to meet you. And, you know, I'm looking forward to this trip tomorrow, hanging out and, like, watching you play, man. And so it's been cool to see, because, like, you told me your journey. You said it was 7 years before you got your first number one.
Yeah.
Well, I remember. I've followed your career since the beginning, man, and to see you find a way to, you know, stay relevant.
Yeah.
In an industry that's forever changing and just,
and fickle.
You know,
it's really fickle.
Bro, it's so fickle, bro.
It's funny. I recently changed record labels, and I'm now with Big Loud Records, but I was with Sony for 11 or 12 years. And in the last couple of years at Sony, due to some, head changes at the top, I kind of lost maybe a little momentum because of maybe just their interest in me. They weren't that connected with me. I wasn't signed by them. They were signing new people. And I kind of felt that, but it's funny. I've been doing these radio interviews the last couple of days to hopefully get my song to hit number one. And a lot of the guys on the radio are like, God, Jake, it's so good to have you back on the radio.
Mm-hmm.
I know they mean that, and it makes me feel good that they say that, but I'm like, wait a second, man. Like, I didn't go anywhere. Yeah. I've still been here.
Exactly.
And so that's what you'll always have to understand is that when things are good, they're good.
Mm-hmm.
And when things are slow, people have a real, in this business especially, they're real quick to kind of just move on to the next thing.
That's a short memory, dude.
So you always, like, your tenacity that you have, you can never lose that. And always, the same way, whether it's your tenacity for your work ethic and working hard,
mm-hmm.
or whether it's what you said about this guy and girl that are going to come to the Opry tonight.
Yeah.
Take care of people that take care of you, and always be there for them, because it ain't always going to be, you know.
It's not, man. And that's my thing, man. I feel like we, you know, as artists, we definitely got to find ways to stay cool, stay relevant. What I started doing now, it might be weird, but I've noticed nobody does meet and greets at the Opry. You know what I mean? So what I'm going to start doing, I did it my debut at the end of the show. I go to the front and just hang out and meet people. And I'm going to do it tonight. Because I've realized so many people come to the Opry and never see that artist perform again. Like, some people don't go to shows. It's just Opry's the only chance they get. So I'm like, man, these people are spending their hard-earned money to come to the Opry. I can go out front and hang out for about 45 minutes.
Yeah.
So it got crazy. Like, I didn't know it was that many people was going to want to say hi. And I thought I was going to blend in, but, you know.
You're like, wait, you're the guy that was just on stage.
Yeah, because I even changed my shirt and didn't think anybody would recognize me. But yeah, but nah, man, now I want to be intentional about meeting people on purpose. You know, so tonight after the Opry, I'm going to be hanging out front. Every time I play the Opry, I'm going to spend at least 45 minutes out front.
Well, I know for a fact that they appreciate that at the Opry as the you know, the everybody there that runs the Opry, but all the fans that are coming out. And as you said earlier, you asked me when this podcast comes out. This will be out today.
Yeah.
So anybody that's listening that lives here in Nashville and wants to go out to the Opry tonight has a chance. They can meet you.
I'll be hanging out, man.
They'll meet you, man.
I'll be wearing black skinny jeans, black boots, and I'll be the black guy in them.
That's awesome. You're going to be singing Best Shot tonight?
Yeah, man, I'm singing Best Shot. I'm singing a song called Warrior. I wrote it about my mother and my grandma and Blue Jean Baby. And when you're talking about, you know, how people are so ready to move on, that my labels let me do this thing called Slower Lower Sessions, where each month I'm releasing a new song that's not on the album. So I've released already 4. Got another one coming next month. The album of 14 all-new songs coming in October. Then we're skipping November, and then December for the next 5 months, I'm right back to one new song a month.
Good.
So they're letting me just like flood the market because, man, listeners want songs, bro.
Well, not only that, but the way, the antiquated way is, and I'm so glad you said that, because the antiquated way that a lot of people are doing it for a while is, you know, a lot of label heads and presidents were saying, oh, we don't want to put out any other music because it'll so-called cannibalize your song that's on the radio.
Not at all.
But all you're doing is, when people start feeding on what you're giving them, they want more. Mm-hmm. So instead of making them wait for 40 weeks, you know what I mean? Because I saw you in March, I guess it was. Was that in March when we did the thing for iHeartRadio?
It was March.
And we both had our songs played. We were talking about this last night. Your song now is in, like, what, you said the low 30s or something?
Yeah, like 30, I think it was 30-something yesterday.
And if I was a new artist like yourself, and I hate to say new artist because you've been here and done this for a long time, but in the world's eyes, you're the new artist. So I'd be right there with you. I feel lucky enough after all these years to have built up relationships and momentum that now I'm sitting here nearing number one and you're sitting at 30 and our songs came out at the same time. Yeah. And that kind of goes to show people out there it's not as easy as you think
it is.
It's
a grind, man.
You got to put your time in and grind. But, dude,
And it shows, like, you're proof that if I work hard enough, long enough, eventually I'll get lucky and I'll get to that point. So I get so excited. Like, when I saw your song climb the charts, man, and it's a great song. I was so happy for you because to me it's proof that, man, you've worked so long and you're at the point where you deserve a first listen. If it's between a Jake Owens song, it's a smash, whether it's a smash or not, you've earned your spot in country music to where you take precedent over myself and any other artist out there that's a new artist, man. You deserve that spot, bro. So it's been a pleasure, man, just meeting you and getting to know you and watching your song get the credit it deserves, bro.
Thanks, dude. That's very nice of you to say that. But I will go back and maybe disagree with you for just a little bit because I do believe this, and I think you will see it with your music as you go forward, is that, man, we have this ability as singers and songwriters to, if you find that right song, the minute it's finished and you give it to the people, if it is the song that they want, like, they're going to get it and they're going to make that song will fly.
Yeah.
It's like I saw it with Barefoot Blue Jean Night. I mean, people kept saying, I mean, and I'd had hits. I had songs that went top five, number two, whatever. But until you have that, like, career song where instantly people are like, whoa, they start taking you more seriously or something for some reason. And you're going to have that, man. Yeah. So get ready for that.
That is the song I want to sing with you on.
What's that? Barefoot? Come on, dude. You want to do it in Milton?
Yeah, dude.
Let's do it.
That'd be dope.
All right.
That'd be dope.
That'd be cool to have you out there. It's your hometown. You're going to have some friends come out?
Dude, I got, like, because, like, they're huge fans of yours down there, man, and I'm still friends with, like, my kindergarten teacher will be there, my first grade teacher, and I got a bunch of friends and family. Matter of fact, I probably know everybody in the audience, honestly.
We'll be there, like, midday, man. Let's go fishing or something.
Dude, like, I'm down. Like,
you don't know how to fish.
You know the mixer, Jeff Giuliano?
Yeah.
He texted me. I was like, yo, I'm coming with Jake. He said, he's got his boat. He said, we'll go fishing.
I'd love to.
So, like, we can literally land. I don't know if you got to go. You don't got to go sound check. Like, you pay people to do that.
Yeah.
Let's go, seriously, we can land and go to the boat, bro.
I'd love to.
We can at least get it, throw a line in the water and see what hops on there.
That's right. So, well, as I mentioned earlier, this show, Good Company, is all about good people, man. Amen. You're a great dude.
Thanks,
Jimmy
bro.
Allen.
Amen.
And I'm excited for you. I'm excited for your music.
Thank you. I'm excited for
you to watch your kid grow up and be a dad and him see you be successful. And as you mentioned earlier, you said you're going to keep grinding and do your thing. Well, you've been doing it already, man, from living in a damn car to now, you know, you're still in a van. So before that, I can't wait for you to call me, dude.
Like, yo, I'm in a Sprinter, bro.
I got a bus. On behalf of me and everybody that's been following this podcast, man, this has been a really cool talk with you. And I've had a lot of people on here, but just the vibe that you give off and it exudes out of you is like, dude, you're very positive, man. And I hope you never lose that.
Yeah.
I hope you keep that. I'm excited to fly with you tomorrow to Milton.
Bro.
And if there's anything else you want to say to the folks out there where, you know, what they can do for you or what you can do for them.
Y'all, listen here and call all your local country radio stations and request
Jimmy Allen.
I Was Jack. You and Diane by Jake Owens. Let's get this number one, man.
See, that's why you're a good guy, man.
Let's get this number one.
Well, thank y'all for tuning in. It's Jimmy Allen. Make sure you go check out his song, Best Shot.
Yeah.
And
J-I-M-M-I-E.
Yeah, J-I-M-M-I-E.
That's how you spell Jimmy.
And A-L-L-E-N,
yep.
right? That's right.
A-L-E-N,
we
yep.
just we gave you that plug, dude.
Boom.
Boom. All right, y'all. It's been good company. Jimmy is definitely good company on behalf of me. And everybody out there, we'll catch you in a couple Tuesdays. We'll play you.
Welcome to 500 Greatest Songs, a podcast based on Rolling Stone's hugely popular, influential, and sometimes controversial list. I'm Brittany Spanos.
And I'm Rob Sheffield. We're here to shed light on the greatest songs ever made and discover what makes them so great.
From classics like Fleetwood Mac's Dreams to the Ronettes' Be My Baby, and modern day classics like The Killers' Mr. Brightside.
Listen to Rolling Stone's 500 Greatest Songs on the iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Listen to the highly anticipated 100th episode of Tank and Jay Valentine's R&B Money Podcast with artist Chris Brown.
Even working with you from Carrie Hilson, Adonis, back in the day, I was 15, 14 doing that album. So like I said, I was in school like, okay, this is how you do it. This is how you make a song. There's a verse, a pre-chorus, and then a hook. I didn't know none of that.
You learned that over a summer, bro.
That's what it felt like.
That's what it felt like.
Listen to R&B Money on the Black Effect Podcast Network, iHeartRadio app, or wherever you get your podcasts.
Hi there, I'm Bob Pittman, Chairman and CEO of iHeartMedia. Welcome to Math and Magic, stories from the frontiers of marketing. This week, I'm talking to acclaimed musician and entrepreneur, Pitbull.
I think that education is the real revolution, because as much as we speak about all the problems that there is in society and the world today, my mother's always told me, son, don't worry, the world's always been coming to an end. Don't let it scare you out of living.
Listen to Math and Magic on our very own iHeartRadio app, Apple Podcasts, or wherever you get your podcasts.